Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 804 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, David is right. I learned this weekend that John Granato says you get only one sentence, but then he tells a whole meatball story. Yeah, you're damn right I did. Okay, when you get, David, when you get a segment, you can make the rules on your segment. How's that? Okay?
Getting to know RJ a little bit. RJ, your thoughts. RJ Saunders is our new producer, and RJ has been, he grew up in California. You just tell people real quickly your background.
All right, so I'm originally from Monrovia, California. That's in L.A. County, but I tell everybody Los Angeles because they don't know where Monrovia is. Then I moved to Jacksonville. Was there for 7 years, and now I am here in Houston.
So this is your third place you've lived?
Yes.
Really? Okay. So did you, as somebody who, are you a hip-hop fan? I know the answer to this, but are you a hip-hop fan?
Yes.
What do you think, because you're younger, so are you familiar with Houston's hip-hop artists?
Not all of them, no, but I know, like the bigger known names, you know, like what? So
Paul Wall, Slim Thug, Bun B, UGK.
Yeah.
Travis Scott.
Yeah. We kind of count Travis. He's, I don't know. He doesn't feel like he came back to Houston, then did Astroworld. Now I'm not sure Houston's going to have Travis back anytime soon.
Well, Travis, yeah, that was ugly. What happened there?
That was
unfortunate.
That was a not great deal.
No.
I don't know. Travis is one of those guys who, he's not really around Houston per se. He comes in and we'll have a little party and have a little, go sit courtside at the Rockets. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know that I would consider him
a
Kardashian rapper right now.
He's a Kardashian.
Yeah, he's a Kardashian.
Yeah. So and you are diehard. All teams LA.
For the most part, yeah. But I'm Jaguar fan.
Are you a Jaguar fan?
Yeah.
You can't help
but
catch
the magic. Well, only
because
you moved there.
Right.
You can't help but catch the magic.
So now you're going to be a Texan fan because you moved here.
No.
Well, let's see.
What are you talking about?
I'm a Jaguar fan. Well, yeah, I'm a Jaguar fan first. Then I am a Packers fan because of my girl. So, you know, I'm a Packers fan too because that's her
favorite.
What if
you break up?
What girl? Wait a minute. What's this girl thing?
I have a girlfriend.
Okay, she's
a
Packer fan.
Why are you keeping her so low profile?
She's from Wisconsin.
I don't keep her low pro.
Yeah, you do.
We haven't heard about her at all.
What are you talking about? You guys haven't heard about. You guys don't ask me questions.
Well, I'm asking.
We're asking
you
right now. You haven't talked about her.
Yes.
Well, if she's listening, I can tell you this.
Right.
He never even mentioned you one time.
Yeah, not one time.
Well, yes, I have, because if you want to talk to Laura, I talked about her. Just haven't talked to you guys.
Where does she live?
Jacksonville.
Oh, she lives in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So that must have been hard to leave up and leave then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
How long has she been? How long has she, how long have you been going out with her?
2 years.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of be a little tricky leaving. So here's a question for you. If you break up, are you still a Packers fan? If you break up and Aaron Rodgers retires,
we're not going to break up, man.
If you did,
there is no ifs, John.
Would you still be a Packer fan?
Yeah. That's the question. We're doing hypotheticals.
I can't live in a world of if.
You don't want to face potential realities. Right. You got to have contingency
plans.
No, he
don't want it coming back and biting him in the ass. That's what he don't
Yeah,
want.
That's true.
That's
what
he wants.
You don't want it on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's just saying.
You won't be a Packer fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
I
don't
heard
want
you on your radio show.
She heard me on the radio show when I told somebody who said they were going to buy me a Rockets jersey on the Twitch, and I said I'll pledge my allegiance to the Rockets, and she knows that I'm also because she's...
So she's monitoring you.
Yeah, she's well. She's not monitoring me.
Well,
but
no. Kind of.
Stop. She's from New York.
Do you
she's
have
originally from New York? So she's like, I thought you were. I thought your second favorite team was the Knicks.
I thought you said. See, she's already like.
She's
yeah.
not
yeah.
doing
you said
it. Like, leave her alone. Okay, I love.
I love
my
her
girl.
Already.
I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just
she's
saying.
A Packer and Knicks fan.
Yes.
A New York. How is a New Yorker? Is she from New York?
Yeah.
How is a New Yorker a Packers fan?
Do you?
I know. I listen. I've had the same. Question.
You had to
I don't
have
know.
That conversation.
No. But I've looked like that's interesting that a New Yorker would be a Packers fan.
Are you at all afraid of her?
No. What? See, there was only one time where I was legitimately afraid. Like, she gave me a look one time, and I stopped. Like, in my...
This is what I'm talking about.
But I have said, you gave me that look. I'm now used to that look. That look does not faze me.
What was it? What
do you have a picture of her that you can show Twitch?
Don't show them anything.
I think you should.
Don't show them.
I think you should.
So... She's from New York, but she's a Packer fan, and you think it's weird, but you won't address it with her?
No. Because, listen, I was from L.A., and before I was a Jag fan, like in high school, I was telling everybody I was a Ravens fan. So, like,
but you
on.
Didn't have a team in L.A.
No.
L.A. football didn't.
Right.
That makes sense. For her in New York,
every
New York's pretty serious about New York,
New York,
right?
Every
what
other...
part of New York?
She's Queens.
Well, she's from New York, New York. And she's rocking with the Packers? You know that's out of pocket. And you know that New Yorkers would not be okay with that. I bet she's a Knicks fan.
She is.
Because you don't – I bet she's a Yankees fan.
Yankees and Mets. Because her dad – I think her dad was the Yankees fan and her mom was the Mets fan. Or it could be twisted
okay,
around. I don't
understandable.
Know which one. Yeah.
You know, because you're a sports fan and you're from L.A.
Yes.
You know that that is highly unusual for a New Yorker to cheer for somebody that's not New York.
I mean, she cheers for every other New York team. She doesn't even cheer. Well,
I'm talking about a
quasi
football team.
Cheers for the Jags just a little bit because she's been living in Jacksonville, you know, for a long portion of her life. But other than that, no. Like every other team she likes is New York. Every other team except for the football team. I don't understand it, but I don't question it.
You should start questioning it.
Oh, yeah.
Why? You should get to the bottom.
Yeah.
Of it.
Listen, rooting for a team because his wife or girlfriend likes it. It's weak.
Do you know that my wife? I met her at a
you
listener event.
You are Texas Lance.
Yeah, I met my wife at a listener event 20 years ago. I met her at a listener event. It's actually over 20 years ago. And I met her at a listener event, but we had emailed arguing about sports. I'd never met her before because she and I had to tell her, even when we were dating, you're taking an L on this one. She was a fan of Chris Sims, which is always an L. And I just said Major Applewhite was the better quarterback. This is when they were still playing at the school together. And she knows that she took major, major losses. The sooner you start to have these uncomfortable questions, the more you truly build a relationship. When she gets a little pissed at you, like because she thinks you've gone, like John strikes me as somebody who's afraid to tell the truth about LSU to his wife.
See,
he's
that's
afraid of
so
Cajuns.
Untrue, RJ. I would never like a team just because my wife went there. And
see.
Oh wait, that's right. I do.
See, that's not. I'm the same.
You gotta. You got. You
I'm
have
the
to.
Exact same
if you
way.
Want.
I mean,
hey,
it's taking her.
If you
a long
want
time
the relationship to last, bruh.
I don't. Spent 20 years. I got screamed at
and
locked out of my
at
house
every game.
Because I literally just drove home and I was supposedly the jinx that made Texas fall apart in the second half against Oklahoma. I wasn't the jinx. It's just Texas doing Texas stuff. Stop putting that on me.
No,
that's not
on
my
you.
Ticket. We have split checks. That's split checks. Don't put that on my ticket. That's on your ticket. I just drove home. I'm not a jinx. They wanted me to sit in the driveway and not come out of the car. I came out of the car. I got locked out, and I watched from the patio as I sat and watched.
Getting locked out of your own house. That's embarrassing.
Still went over the
You're
total
embarrassing
the
yourself,
half.
Okay? That's embarrassing right there.
What's embarrassing is what Texas did in that game.
8-12 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
How do you lose that game? Seriously, how do you lose that game? See, I'm not forced to cheer for anybody because somebody in my family went there.
No, I love my wife. You don't love your wife enough. That's all.
Love my wife
713-780-3776, the number to hang with us. When we come back to Astros baseball, what the Astros did this weekend, we will talk about it and going forward here with our team. But first, what about your peeps over at the Great Plate?
Well, so it really boils down to, and my guy, Paul Miller, spends a lot of time in a lot of the sporting events. He's got tickets all over because he loves to be here in Houston. He's a former athlete with Purdue. He's a defensive lineman. And he loves the local sports teams. He loves expanding and building out more locations. And I'll give you a little tip here. The Union Kitchen, for example, if you are looking for a great place to go have brunch, make sure that you go to the Union Kitchen. The Union Kitchen has something for everyone. They've got huge brunch menus, and you can check them out at theunionkitchen.com. But when you talk about brunch, they're locally famous. They've got a great craft special where you're drinking your mimosas. You get your crafts of orange juice. You get your bottle of Prosecco or champagne or whatever it is, and you are set to go. And from a brunch standpoint, they have amazing brunch opportunities and offerings for you. How about you take advantage of a great churro donut holes? They've got that available for you. They've got a breakfast pizza, maybe avocado toast. You want to have something a little bit lighter? They've got the avocado toast. If you're like me and you want to go all in, how about biscuits and gravy or the Elvis waffle with Belgian waffles, creamy peanut butter, bananas, Foster sauce, candied bacon, whipped cream, candied Texas pecans. Oh my gosh, Peggy's lobster omelets. There's so many great items to choose from, whether it's lighter options or something that's going to be more filling and more substantial and great comfort food as well. Make sure that you check out the Union Kitchen. You can go for lunch. You can go for dinner. But don't you miss Sunday brunch, because their brunch is off the charts. Go to theunionkitchen.com. 6 locations around the Houston area, theunionkitchen.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 817 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to get in here. Astros win 3 out of 4, take game 4 of the series 4-1. It was tight for a while. How about Jack Mayfield homering? How about that? It's like, what the? Super Jack Mayfield. Remember him? Remember Super Jack? How awesome.
It's a great nickname.
I know. Springer homered, Correa homered, and Jack Mayfield homered. Three former Astros homered yesterday. Yeah, I'm kind of done. Yuli come back. Yuli wasn't there this weekend because of his wife is giving birth. Apparently, he'll be back Tuesday tomorrow night in Arizona. Just a quick 2-game series in Arizona. See Strami. That'll be nice to see Strami there.
Hope Strami's guys aren't putting it on us.
Yeah, I know, right?
The Astros.
If all of a sudden,
man, these breaking pitchers are spinning their ass off on us right now. I don't know. That one hurts. Like, equal with Carlos was losing Brent Strom. That's our grandpa. That's Grandpa Brent, who is always has some Werther's hard candies and a sharp, what I would call a 1-7 breaking pitch.
You know, they're not 12-6. Here's the deal, though. It's like they're got the guys behind him, and this is how it was explained to me. The guys behind him are ready. And it was their time. You're going to lose those guys too, you know, and those guys are the future. Strami's not going to be a long.
Why do you lose a pitching coach?
Well, because he's going to go somewhere else.
Why? Pitching coaches should stay with the same team for life.
He's an assistant pitching coach.
I'm saying, you say you're
going to lose. Strami's about.
Oh, you're saying not that you're going to lose him in the future. You'll lose him if you don't.
If they
plug him in. Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you.
Well, thank God we got rid of Strom. He was the problem.
Well, no, he wasn't the problem, but you had to, this guy was behind him for 7 years. I mean, time.
Too bad.
Well, do you want to lose? That guy's young.
Yeah, I don't care about losing that guy. Strami's not old. Brent Strami, you ever seen him walk out that gate?
Takes a while. Wayne Graham.
He's got
slow,
a stroll.
But he's slow.
He's got a stroll out there. Strami's fine.
No, well, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, you're going to see Strami tomorrow night. And that is, you know, it's nice. The guys really like Strami, so that'll be interesting to see. But Dusty, had Dusty afterwards talking about winning the three. He was different than Joe. Joe Madden said, yeah, you know, we're as good as that team. Okay, Joe, here's Dusty about his team.
And you can't bring it back, but, boy, you're starting to get a little worried there. I think we've gone 13 innings without a score. But, you know, such as spring. Spring bats are kind of like springtime. You don't know if it's summer and hot or winter and cold. And so, you know, our pitching held us there until our offense could, you know, could do something. And today, most of our offense was Brady. And he drove in those key runs. And, you know, we played real good defense. Our Kitty was, you know, was outstanding. And then our bullpen, did a heck of a job. And you feel very comfortable and confident when you can keep changing pitchers and you get the same quality from the guy that was pitching before or pitching afterwards. So it was a good series. That's what this team prides itself on, winning series. And, you know, it's hard to sweep a four-game series. But, you know, we'll take three out of four.
Every time you take three out of four. A couple of things. The 80, the pitch count is 80. That's it. Verlander, you get 80. That's it. Beat it. Early on in the season, Dusty said, you know, we got to get our pitchers, our starters have got to get their pitch count up. 80's it. However long that is, you get 80 pitches and then you're out. I like it. It's good. He did say when he rested Bregman in game three, he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. I don't want these guys. I know this is still spring training for the veterans. The younger players get ready quicker. They're younger. They bounce back. All of these things. The older players, I'm going to rest them. He rested Altuve yesterday. He rested Bregman on Saturday. He said, I'm playing everybody. All right. So Siri got the start in center. Uncle Mike sat and McCormick is in left. Altuve sat as well. Bregman sat on Saturday. Now, the only thing I disagree with was if you're going to sit Bregman and put Nico Goodrum in, that doesn't mean slide Nico Goodrum into the three hole. Nico Goodrum is hitter.
Why would he not be hitting eighth?
Right. Or ninth.
Yeah.
Nico Goodrum, look at his numbers. He's not a good major league hitter.
I don't. Was there a thought there?
I don't know. Maybe, hey, the thought is let's not disrupt the whole lineup just because Bregman is out.
Yeah, maybe. That's probably what it is. You know, the other thing is you can say, look, we'll throw an out in the middle of that because we've got a potential firestorm of runs in there. Why not keep a number six hitter that can mash a little?
And how'd that work out for you on Saturday night? Verlander's looking at the lineup going, what is this?
Yeah.
This is what you give me?
No decision, but Verlander, he didn't get a lot of help.
No, he got no help.
This is why getting 13 wins could be tough for him because just because you pitch well does not mean you're going to get a win.
No. But he's Verlander.
Because that was a winning outing.
He's
going to
get 13 wins.
That was a winning outing.
He's Verlander.
Well, you could all say he's Verlander. He's not going to pitch for 2 years. So let's just see if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, you could say that as well. No, there's no question. You could say both of those things. 713-780-3776, your Astros with three out of four. Otherwise, they looked really good. Kyle Tucker with a huge bomber. Friday night, they just exploded for, 13? And just destroyed them. Saturday night, which is typical. The next day, they come back and get nothing. And then they struggled to score. Bregman coming up with the huge. And did you hear? Did you hear Cheater? Right before Bregman got the two RBI single, a fan clearly screams Cheater, and Bregman goes whack, base hit, scores two, Astros lead, and go on to win.
Let me ask you, when has that worked out for opposing teams taunting the Astros?
It has not.
How often does it work out? It's usually followed by an immediate retribution, and it's usually in the form of Jose Altuve hitting a home run against you. Usually, when you say something to someone. So Roosh Williams, who we've had Roosh on, he does a lot of Rocket stuff. He's back in L.A. He's a lawyer, and then he also just has his Rockets podcast. But he's a Houston sports fan. He was at the game, and he said they were yelling on Saturday night in Verlander's game. They were yelling F Altuve and taunting Altuve like throughout the night. That's in L.A., as far as they're concerned, Jose Altuve is the ringleader and mastermind of cheating, and there's just no way around it. And he just said it's the same, you know, it's the same old stuff, just people yelling about Jose Altuve and what a massive cheater he is and stuff like that. But usually it works out poorly for people who do that.
Yeah. No,
Jose
Altuve
is probably going to hit a home run against you if you keep – you need to keep – listen, you thought you need to keep Jada Pinkett Smith's name out of your mouth? You definitely need to keep Jose Altuve's name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
100%.
No question. And Bregman now, apparently. I love how Bregman says, I love how he looks at the plate right now. Holy crap, does he look good. And Pena looks really good. Now Pena is a guy I think you can put the shift on. Everything he hits, he really brings his arms in and pulls everything. Mm-hmm. Right now he's pulling everything. I will see if he can go the other way in as the season progresses. But boy, does he look good! He's smooth in the field.
I know
he made
confident.
A throwing error, so he's the worst shortstop ever. But
he's not going to be as good as Carlos. Okay,
well, nobody's as good as Carlos.
And he looked shaky in his first game.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so you know, has he looked shaky since then?
No. Okay. I mean, it was one game. Goodness
gracious.
Well,
we let it play it out.
Yeah. So please. Let's stop with this. Hey, Billy Harmon's going to join us on the other side to talk about the Masters. That's what we're going to do next right here. And still ahead, we're going to talk some. We've also got Brian Baldinger going to join us here.
But at 8:45, I want to get into Adam Schefter had a faux pas over the weekend. And the response has been maybe to me in some ways worse than Adam Schefter's mistake. But another longtime NFL legend, I would say, made a more egregious mistake. Well, it wasn't a mistake. He said what he said.
That's at 45. Next, Billy Harmon joins us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I want to talk about the Morley Law Firm, MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. Listen, there are crimes and there are injuries and stuff happens every single day. There's a good chance that you are innocent. You need representation. Either if you're charged with a crime, guilty or not, it can ruin your life. The Morley Law Firm has the professional lawyers with the experience, skills, and expertise to need to protect your rights and the justice you deserve. When life happens, they can help make your life better. Listen, they have services for just about everything. Immigration. Se habla español. So they can help you out, people. If you've got somebody that's facing immigration charges, it doesn't have to be necessarily be Mexico. It could be anywhere. If your European friend can't get a visa or is being deported, whatever the case may be, and you feel like you need some legal help, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Criminal defense, accident, if you've gotten into an accident, whatever it is that you need legal assistance, give the Morley Law Firm a call or go to their website, Morley Law, M-O-R-L-E-Y, MorleyLaw.com, or you can give them a call, 713-839-9955. You've got a problem, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Y se habla español.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. An old friend of the show, Billy Harmon, joining us now here to talk about the Masters. Scotty Scheffler winning the Masters, and looking just unbelievable. Just so good. Just so much better than everybody else. Clearly the number one player in the world. Billy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. So we talked about it a little bit earlier. It seems to come and go, Bill. When Dustin Johnson, when he won and he became number one player in the world, he looked unbeatable, and man, this is going to last. Jordan Spieth had a little bit of run, and you're like, oh, my goodness, how good. John Rahm, how good he was just last year, and he's unbeatable. And then just 6 months later, he's not even number one anymore. Does Scottie Scheffler have lasting power? Do you see something different in him?
Well, that all remains to be seen, because all the players that you mentioned are great players. I think as a generalization, when a great player is playing good, they make the game look easy. And the fact of the matter is, great golf is not easy. You know, if you go back to this Masters tournament, Scottie Scheffler's short game was beyond comprehension, really. The first four holes, he should have been three over. You know, he hit a terrible drive at one, a terrible second shot at two, a terrible drive at three, and a terrible second shot at three, and then a terrible iron at four. And he played those four holes and one under par. See, that's not going to happen every day. I think Jordan Spieth has proved that. When he was number one, he had a putting stretch and a short game stretch that was beyond belief. The other thing that I think happens is, you know, Scottie's a young man with what appears to be an unbelievable head on his shoulders. But now everybody's going to be watching him in this age of social media that loves to tear people down. How he reacts to all that stuff will be interesting. He obviously has the game. I love seeing him as number one, because I think the game is in good hands with a person like Scottie. But what remains to be seen is, how's he going to perform when the spotlight is bearing down on him every inch of the way, everything he does, every time he goes out to dinner. And you know, we have a media that likes to tear people down. And so I think it's just more than the golf. I think it's the outside pressure. He seems to have a great spiritual balance. He has a wonderful head on his shoulders. You know, if anybody could do it, I would say he would. But I think you can't ever underestimate the value of, when things are going good, what the short game does for you. And Rory was a perfect example yesterday. You know, he holed out three shots from off the green, and had he taken three to get down, he'd have shot 70 and nobody would have been talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to me is, can Scottie's short game hole out like it did last week, or the last couple months? But he has all the ingredients, and but you know, he's playing against really, really great players. So I would be very surprised to see anybody really dominate the number one spot in this day and age.
There's too many good players. Billy Harmon is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you think of Tiger's week and going forward with Tiger?
If I was in his camp, I would grade the week an A++. The fact that he could walk the 4 days was remarkable, and I think it looked, at least visibly to me, that it got harder for him every day. Yesterday, he was really limping, I thought. I thought he played remarkably well. He putted awful the last 2 days. But those things are all correctable. Putting has got nothing to do with his knees or his leg, I think. So I would be extremely happy with what happened. The fact that he made the cut, was in the top 20 after two rounds. And then in my lifetime, I thought they were the two worst putting rounds I've ever seen him have. But that won't be hard for him to correct. You know, the next three majors, Southern Hills, the Country Club, and St. Andrews, are not nearly as hard a walking course as Augusta National is, and St. Andrews is very flat. You'll have some awkward lies. Southern Hills, I don't know if that's ever been the apt name for Southern Hills. Really isn't that hilly, I don't think. And the Country Club has some hills in it, but nothing like Augusta. So I would think, if I were in his camp, I'd be very, very excited, depending on how the leg holds up here. 1 week later, I would think.
Yeah, he said he's committed to St. Andrews already. He's not sure about Southern Hills, right? So we shall see. And then the Country Club is where the U.S. Open is in June. So we'll see him at least one more time at St. Andrews for sure. He said he loves it. It's his favorite course, and it's the home of golf. And he said, that's funny. He said, that's my favorite golf course in the world. So I will be there for that one. I didn't know that St. Andrews was his favorite course. What else? I asked you, Jordan Spieth, what the heck is going on with Jordan? And are we ever going to see Jordan come back, Bill?
You know, I don't know. You know, I have my unquantifiable theories on things like this. I think when someone gets to number one in the world, if I were advising him, I would say he should have three mentors. Number one would be self-knowledge. Number two would be experiences. And number three would be a set of eyes, which would be, I assume, Cameron McCormick is still working for him. To make dramatic changes in one swing, I think, when they're number one in the world is dangerous risk. He has his own swing. It was an unusual swing. But I think Jordan got to number one because of an incredible short game. And I don't really know what he's trying to do with that rehearsal swing. And I don't like to criticize teachers because I don't know what they're working on. You know, maybe if sat down and someone explained what they're working on, what they're trying to fix, you might have a better understanding of it. But he's doing a rehearsal swing of like no one I've ever seen in my lifetime anyway. And he's struggling. You know, bottom line is he's struggling. And when his short game doesn't bail him out, he becomes quite ordinary. So back to my theory on the short game this week. I don't know what to say. He still has good tournaments here and there. Boy, he's a grinder. He's a worker. He was a prime-time player, prime-time performer. But when a great player loses his nerve, he becomes ordinary. And right now, he's pretty ordinary, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Billy Harmon with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, Billy, I want to ask about Tiger. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while. But I want get back to Tiger for just one second. I've noticed that the national narrative on him is that he's still Tiger, and at Tiger, some great things could still be coming. Do you think Tiger's going to be a little bit of a victim of people's expectations being so outlandish based on his history relative to the injury precluding him from ever reaching the heights that we saw just a couple years ago at the Masters?
Well, if this week was any indication, I'd say no. You know, the love that he got from the press and the galleries, and he hasn't always had a great relationship with either. I don't think anybody was disappointed in how he played this week. I think nobody had any idea what he was going to do. So I don't think so. I think I certainly would never compare him to that person that was dominating. You know, his body is old. When you think about all the back surgeries and all the surgeries he's had, excuse me, and this comeback that he's just made this week, I think he's going to get a pass here for quite a while, and I think at his age he was going to get a little bit of a pass anyway, but you know, I would think if he ever won another tournament again, it would be an unbelievable feat. And I saw enough good things with him. He had a lot of beautiful iron shots and a lot of good drives this week. You know, he had a lot of quality shots. His short game was lacking dramatically, but that's one of the last things that usually comes after a layoff. So I don't think so. I think he's going to get a pass, you know, and especially if he keeps acting the way he's acting and very appreciative of the gallery and recognizing people. And he seems to have fostered a relationship with the younger players that seems to have meant a lot to him. I think we're seeing a little bit of a different Tiger here, and I think the press and the galleries have a different expectation of him now.
If he does win again, is it even comparable to Hogan's comeback?
Yeah, you know, that's always hard to say. I always hate comparing, I guess, for some reason, great feats, because you might have to bring up the negative of something that's great. I think it'll just stand on its own, no pun intended, on its own two feet, as one of the great comebacks in sports history, as was Hogan's. But Hogan came back and won, you know, an abnormal amount of majors and tournaments after that. So I'm not too sure you could quite compare it to Hogan.
Yeah, right. And both of them were life-threatening, and both were bone
crushing.
Yes, crushing.
They were. And, yeah. And Hogan came back and won a bunch of majors and many, many more tournaments. In fact, he might have been a better player after than he was before, as hard as that is to believe.
If you had to put your money on one guy to threaten Scheffler, Morikawa, Rahm, Hovland, how about Rory?
I still think Rahm. I still think he has a huge upside. But once again, we don't know how he's going to handle the spotlight. He's got a family, young family now. Morikawa, to me, just seems to have the most solid head on his shoulders. And he kind of slips under the radar. He's such a nice, handles himself so beautifully. Doesn't have the electric personality or the temper tantrums, and he's quietly going on as a really great player without anybody seem to be prying into him very much. So I would say Morikawa seems to have the head for it, but there's something about Rahm's game, his aggressive swing, that when he's in contention, he seems to finish the deal, and he's not afraid of the moment.
That's Billy Harmon right here on ESPN 97.5, old friend of the show. Great talking to you, Bill. Hope everything is great. He's in Palm Springs, which is just beautiful every day. Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough action to be in Palm Springs.
Yeah, it's tough every day. Every day is tough.
I got a tough life, guys. Bill, thanks for having me on.
Always fun talking golf with you. Billy Harmon right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's got it rough. He's got it rough over there. All right, when we come back, let's talk about this Adam Schefter. Not Scotty Scheffler. We're going to talk about Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter.
Right. Yeah,
there was a confusion yesterday.
There was some confusion.
About whether or not my brother had made some pretty vile comments about Adam Schefter and Scotty Scheffler. And it turns out he hadn't.
I was wondering what he heard about Scotty Scheffler that made him so
the inside dirt
vile
on Scotty Scheffler. And it turns out you just misread Schefter as Scheffler because you had Masters on the brain.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about that more right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, what about your patio?
Let's talk about Texas Custom Patio.
You can't even go in the house. You got to have a patio.
Yeah, I mean, I got locked out and watched the end of Texas-Oklahoma on the patio, and that's fine. They thought I was the jinx. Turns out they were the jinxes. Turns out that, that maybe Casey Thompson was the jinx. I just know this much. I'm not the jinx, but I'll be more than happy to sit out on my patio and watch my games there. As long as you let me get to my drinks, as long as you let me get to my maestro, that's fine. That's not a problem. Out there, Snacks is out there watching stuff all the time. A lot of times, YouTube stuff. I'm like, watch a game. Stop watching YouTube stuff out here. It's fun to be able to have a kitchen out there. You do your outdoor kitchen stuff. How about in the morning? You go out when the weather's nice. You make some bacon and pancakes on your griddle top, your flat cook. Well, you can do pancakes, eggs, and bacon all right there on your outdoor kitchen. How about that? Having a great a cup of coffee in the morning and a great breakfast out on your patio listening to music. Wouldn't that be great to have that experience? But you can have that experience. It really is something that you can have thanks to my friends over at Texas Custom Patios. Texas Custom Patios are doing things that really help add to the quality of your life. If you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. In fact, you can go to tcplance.com and see what they've done for me and for my family, really changing and altering your quality of life with a great outdoor living space that is going to more than pay for itself if and when you sell that home. TexasCustomPatios.com to see what they did for my backyard. The before and after, go to tcplance.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance still ahead. Brian Baldinger is going to join us in the next segment.
Baldy. I love Baldy. He's a good dude.
So we got some NFL stuff to talk about. But we got some NFL stuff to talk about right
kind
now.
Kind of.
It is. It's a little bit. And here's the problem. So I'm watching Saturday morning when ESPN broke for the first time. I was watching, you know, Masters coverage on ESPN because they had the first and second round Saturday morning. I was up early. I'm watching. And the news broke about Dwayne Haskins. And that can't be sadder. They didn't have any of the details that we have now. The only they knew that he was on a highway. He ran out of gas and he got hit by a car. Turned out he got hit by some kind of a dump truck. Was it a dump truck that hit him? Whatever the case
it
may
was,
be.
Yes, it
Kid was 24 years old. That's so sad. And one of the first things that I thought of was that Dwayne Haskins did not have the career that he would have liked. I will say this, though.
Well, so in your mind, you are going over.
Right. Well, like, what do I know about Dwayne Haskins? Yeah. I know that one of the first things I thought of was what Stephen A. Smith thought of him, what was said about him, the 50 touchdown passes at Ohio State, but that he didn't make it with the Redskins, and he was a Steeler now, and he had a chance to compete with Mitchell Trubisky. We'll see. I mean, they signed Mitchell Trubisky. He was probably going to get the start. We'll see. Who knows? But you know what? Wouldn't be the first quarterback that ever didn't start real well and maybe was able to bounce back and have a nice career. Who knows? Or he would have made a bunch of money as a backup in the NFL. That would have been great
if you're a headline writer, so for example, Adam Schefter.
But my main thought was this: was that and people I think if you call a pro athlete a scrub or he's garbage or he's terrible or dude, you don't know any pro athletes. But Dwayne Haskins would have been the best athlete that you ever knew in your life if you knew Dwayne Haskins. Okay, so maybe you know somebody somewhere, somehow,
somewhere. You might have known a better
But this kid threw 50 touchdown passes at Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick.
Dwayne Haskins
is unbelievable. He's greater than 99.9% of athletes
Haskins
in the country.
He had a great college season. When it all said and done, he played one season. He had a great college season at Ohio State. And if you're discussing what he did in the pros, yes, he struggled at Washington, had some maturity issues, caught on to Pittsburgh, and was hoping that Pittsburgh could be his rehabilitation for his career. Okay? That's the football stuff. But in a macro view, Dwayne Haskins was a 24-year-old who died trying to cross a roadway and died way, 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 way too soon. And he will not be with us anymore. He will not play football anymore. The memories of Dwayne Haskins will stop. He stops creating memories. He stops being with family members. He stops being with friends right now. That's so what you have is this was a stoppage of time for a young person who died way, way too soon. It's a tragic incident. And Adam Schefter has 9.4 million followers. And he is the breaking news for most people. I don't even know if it's a large majority of people. I don't know how you would term it, but he got the information from Cedric Saunders, the agent. Mm-hmm. And here's the tweet that Adam Schefter sent out that has caused so much backlash on social media and inside, apparently, the ESPN building. Dwayne Haskins, now this has been deleted. Now this is not the first time, and I wish somebody could help me remember. He's had another poorly worded tweet here within the last month. Adam Schefter, if you can remember, hit me up on Twitter at Lance Zerline, or I'll check in with Twitch, see if anyone with Twitch can remember. He had another poorly worded tweet here, I think, within the last month, where I thought, oh, that's probably not the way you want to phrase that. Here's what Adam Schefter said. Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State before struggling to catch on with Washington and Pittsburgh in the NFL, died this morning when he got hit by a car in South Florida, per his agent, Cedric Saunders. Haskins would have turned 25 years old on May 3rd. So he was, less than a month from turning 25. This is people's first hearing of what happened with Dwayne Haskins. This is not an article. It's a tweet. So you don't have to get all of your information. This is a guy who's used to writing articles. This is a tweet. It's different. And so people's problem, if you don't have a problem, or if you do, if you hear it in there, is that you are telling people, many people for the first time they're hearing it, that a 24-year-old has died tragically, former first-round pick, and you are editorializing somewhat by saying that he struggled to catch on with Washington and Pittsburgh. That's not really relevant to his death. It's relevant to an overview of his career, if you want, or an overview of the life, if you want to contextualize that. It's not really relevant to that tweet, and I mean to that information that he's put out there. And that's why he's taking so much crap. Now, he recognized at some point, deleted it. He hasn't apologized publicly. He's basically just letting the firestorm pass. It's in poor taste. I think it's in poor taste. You'd probably agree with that's probably not the time to make a comment. Not, it's not inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate. It's not inaccurate. Actually very
and he
accurate.
He didn't mean anything.
However,
he was not willfully. He
no,
was not willfully trying to.
There was
to,
no malice here. No. This is what. If you want to know the truth, the first thing you think about with Dwayne Haskins is what exactly what he said, probably, is that he was at Ohio State. He had a real and he scuffled. He struggled to play at Washington, and he got traded or he was released. Right?
He was released.
He
As
was
a
released.
Football player, he had a disappointing start to his career, without question.
It's not. It's not. It's not inarguable. It's not inaccurate.
However.
However.
However,
it's not the way you describe
so the problem
a kid
is,
that
the
just
problem
got
is
hit by
Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter in that tweet needs to be more sensitive to the fact that this is a kid who has died prematurely, and probably that's your tweet. And if you have an article to write, you can write that article. You can write somewhere in that. Yes, that's context for Dwayne Haskins' pro football career, and it's not out of line to say that in proper context. In a tweet about in the same sentence where you're telling people he's died to put it in there to editorialize the football career, it's in poor taste. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think Adam Schefter recognized it when he deleted it. He clearly didn't recognize it when he put it out there. And frankly, that's kind of just the cold football writer in him just saying, okay, here's the information on him. And this is how, and when you have a where you try to get a certain amount of information, that's the journalist trying to get information into it. But it lacked tone.
Sensitivity. Right.
It lacked sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people on Twitter are trying to get him fired from ESPN. They are saying that Lamar Jackson came out and called him lame as bleep and this, that, and the other. So now people have the go-ahead to start attacking Adam Schefter, which I get saying, hey, you got to be better than this, or this isn't the time for it, and all that. I'm totally fine with all that stuff. The idea that now finally you got something where you can get Adam Schefter fired is kind of you're basically playing into all the cancel culture.
Here's
stuff.
Here's the problem.
This is kind of there was not malice intended in this,
no.
But it did show an alarming lack of tone for somebody who had just died. But it's not like I didn't think that's willfully malicious. It's just bad.
Here's
wording.
The problem for Schefter is this going to limit his access to players?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know.
Like he didn't
Lamar,
call.
You think he's and Lamar
know,
Jackson's
but,
answering
but,
his call?
But here's the problem with that. Did he call somebody a scrub? Like
no. But you see the reaction
a
by
total
guys.
Wash,
guys
exactly.
are pissed off at him, and so there are maybe a lot of guys that will no longer give Adam Schefter access. I mean, malice
well, we'll
or not.
We'll see. I don't think it's players so much as agents that he deals with. And I don't think agents are going to. Adam Schefter offers value to the agents as well. That's how the game is played. Was that when we come back, I got one that's.
No, we got Brian Baldinger when we come
okay,
back.
Okay, we got Baldy. That's fine. And a little later on, you thought, okay, that one to me, that's insensitive. He doesn't. You gotta read the room a little bit on that one. What Gil Brandt did was on a different level. We'll get to that at 9:15. You're not going to want to miss that one.
No.
Gil Brandt, former longtime Cowboy great, had some very disparaging words to say about Dwayne Haskins, and I was frankly shocked that he was saying them with his outside voice on a radio show.
But Brian Baldinger joins us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking about Chastain Ford. My people over at Chastain Ford are just the best. And if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, I think there's only one place in the world to go get it, and that's with the Chastains, because you join as part, you become part of the Chastain family. I'm part of the Chastain family. But, you know, and you say, well, you speak for them, and you know. I walked in there like everybody else. They treated me like they treat everybody else. Where do you have to be in your payments? How much is it a month? Because we don't want you choking on it. What do you want in the vehicle? What is most important to you? Now, I bought a vehicle that was on the lot that had a package. You don't have to do that. You order that vehicle from Chastain Ford. You ain't paying MSRP, okay? You order that vehicle, you ain't paying an MSRP. And when you order that vehicle, you customize it to exactly how you want that vehicle. You're not paying for that sunroof that you didn't want. You're not paying for those leather seats or that bed. That bed liner. All you're doing is paying for exactly what you want in that vehicle. And they're not going to add anything on, and they're not going to mark up. It's not what they do at Chastain Ford. If you're looking for the best people to buy that Ford car or truck for, or if you want something that's on the lot right now, you got pre-owned vehicles there, 90% are certified. You're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, one place to go. Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com, or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.